last time we discussed the position of the Magen Mishnah that's quoted by the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, who has a relatively liberal allowance for the Mechal Shabbos for Chol Shabbos for Sakana. Anything that's in any way Tzorech HaYachola, even if it's not directly necessary for his care, would be mutter according to the Magen Mishnah. And we saw the Mishnah Berurah, the very extensive Be'er Halacha, questions whether this is really true of the halacha, because many of you showed that he assumes, argue on the Magen Mishnah, assume otherwise, and his bottom line psak is that one should distinguish between the Raisis and the Rabbanans to have a more liberal allowance for B'Machal Shabbos on the Rabbanans for Shart Zrachim, but not when it comes to the Raisis, and that's the position that seems to be generally accepted by the contemporary Svarim, the contemporary Poskim. We also discussed a little bit the notion of Yisuvei Daita in the context of Yoledes, and perhaps in the context beyond Yoledes. But we have to clarify a little bit more where these lines are drawn, because the Magen Mishnah of Shart Zrachim is not the same as Yisuvei Daita, and there may be gradations in terms of the necessity of performing certain things on behalf of Achola that have obvious halachic distinctions. So the way Shmir Shabbos Tilchasa formulates the practical psak as it relates to the din of the Magen Mishnah. All citations in Shmir Shabbos will be from the third edition, the final edition of Shmir Shabbos, and this is in Perek Lamed Beis, Se'if Kaf Daled. The way Shmir Shabbos phrases it is, Kol davar sheyesh bo eisa shu tzorech l'chol ha-mesukan, anything that has some need for a chol sheyesh b'sakana, bein shadavar nagei l'rufu aso, bein shadavar nagei l'hazan aso l'shar tzachi gufa, whether it affects his health, his refuah, or his nourishment, or other needs. Im ein bimini aso min achola kedei l'hachmir esmatzavo. If by withholding this thing, it's not going to make his condition more severe, nor will it diminish his chances of overcoming the illness. So that's how he phrases the Magen Mishnah of Shart Zrachim and the Mishnah Berurah's distinction between the Raisis and the Rabbanans. Anything which, if you withhold it from the Chola, is not going to harm his condition, it's not going to make it worse, nor will it diminish his chances of recovery. And that's where, according to the Magen Mishnah, you can do anything, even the derisas, and the Pesach of Mishnah Berurah is to only allow violating derabbanans.
That's a new category that he's not
going to... I'm
sorry? That's a new category there. He's not going to get... He's not going to die, but there's a category over here, he's just not going to get better.
No.
There's a category he's that, not going... He's not, there's a category over here, if he's not going to get better, then you could...
No, his formulation is that this is something that's not going to affect his chances of getting better. It's low malav lamorim. It's not going to make things worse. It's not going to make things better. As opposed to, well, we'll talk about it in a minute. Now, in that same Be'er Halacha, that lengthy Be'er Halacha in Sif Dalid, he ends with the following line, the Mishnah Berurah. We'll take a look if you have it in front of you. At the end of that long Be'er Halacha, he quotes a Me'iri that we'll get to soon. L'fi divrei Me'iri anal b'yuma mashma, she'im al yidei pu'ula sachilul hazeh yischazku eivarav, if this action is going to strengthen his constitution, gam kein ein lemnoa davar zeh me'ito, kein mishu kol sheyesh b'sakana. So if it's something that could strengthen the health of the chola, it's not going to make him die if you don't provide it, but it may strengthen his condition. So that is something the Mishnah Berurah allows, even a malacha d'araisa. What's the Me'iri that he's referring to? So Mishnah Berurah, earlier in this Be'er Halacha, quotes part of this Me'iri. The Me'iri is in Yuma, Pedalet Amabez, Dibra Hamaskel Mechamin. Pedalet Amabez, Dibra Hamaskel Mechamin. Me'iri writes, Mechamin Chamin L'chola L'chachila B'Shabbos. You're allowed to heat up water for a Chola Sheish B'Sakan on Shabbos. Bein lahashkoso shu davar muad, whether it's to give him the water to drink. Bein lahavroso, whether it's to lahavroso, what does that mean? Rasa lomar, laharchitso, kdei lachazik evarav. Or, if you need the hot water in order to bathe him, in order to strengthen his bones, strengthen his limbs. Afal pi sherechitza zu shel chizuk evarim ein batzorach lemehiris kolkach. So even though it's not so critical to give him a hot bath to strengthen his body on Shabbos, v'hayalonu lomar shenamtin la kidei shelo nechal b'Shabbos, and you might have said, just wait till Motzei Shabbos. He's not going to die from not having a bath. In the scheme of things, it's not going to make his condition worse. So you would have thought, wait till after Shabbos and give him a hot bath after Shabbos. Maybe he says, no, you can do that even on Shabbos. That's what it means, mecham and cham, not only to drink, but even to give him a bath. Shemikol mokom, nimeheresi b'chizuk evarav. If you're going to provide the hot bath on Shabbos, that is going to hasten the positive effect. The A Mashilo Shim Davar to LS Ligmor Rifuas Acholi. And you don't wait for anything that has a need for a cholashiesh basakaris. Even if it's something that is not critical, the patient's not going to die from not having a hot bath, but if it's something that's going to merely strengthen even slightly a cholashiesh basakana, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos even with Malacha Daraisa. So the way the Mishnah Berurah presents is this is a notch above the Magen Mishnah Shar Tzvachim. The Magen Mishnah Shar Tzvachim is even something that has no tangible benefit to the chol at all and isn't going to be detrimental if you withhold it. What the Meiri is talking about and what the Mishnah Berurah accepts, Lalacha, it sounds like even for Daraisa is like the Meiri, is that if it's something that could strengthen him even in the slightest way, and even if there's no medical need to do it right now, you're still allowed to do that b'Shabbos b'melacha d'araisa. The Mishnah Berurah earlier pointed out that even though you might have read this Meiri in line with the Magen Mishnah, he says, no, the Meiri is talking about a different category than the Magen Mishnah. The Meiri is talking about something that has more of a correlated effect on the chola than what the Magen Mishnah allows for. So the Mishnah Berurah, bottom line, does not accept the sweeping allowance of the Magen Mishnah, but does accept the more incremental allowance of the Meiri, that anything that's going to have a positive effect on the Chola, even a slight one, even if you could just as well have delayed it till Motzei Shabbos, or you might have thought you should delay it till Motzei Shabbos, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. And that Yisuve Daita may fit somewhere between these two categories. Something that's Yisuve Daita, where there's a psychological benefit to the chola, but not a physical benefit. Right, so that's what we saw last time in Simin Shin Vav, in Hilchos Tuchumin, that there it sounds like, as opposed to Yoledes, where we allow Yisuve Daita even for the Raisas, by other cholim, it could be Yisuvi Daita only for Mr. Abundance. That's the discussion there of Amir Lenachri to go outside the Tchum to tell someone to come after Shabbos. And that's what Shvir Shabbos passes here as well in Sif Kafei, that when it comes to Yisuvi Daita, that also should only be Murtah for the Raisas, not for the Raisas, unless it's a situation where you're concerned the guy is going to go out of his mind, that Titarif Daito, if you don't provide that comfort. That's what Rav Vosner writes as well. Chuvas Sheva Levi Chelechas Simin Samachay. Chuvas Sheva Levi Chelechas Simin Samachay. So he discusses machlokas achronim, whether in that din of Simin Shin Vav there's an allowance for Yisuvi Daita even with daraisas. And he thinks maybe it's not really a machlokas rishonim. Even the Prima Gadol, that sounds like it's mutter to violate the raisa, maybe he's only talking about a case where there's a real concern for the person's health. That shemet titarif daita, that he's going to go out of his mind if you don't provide that which he is asking for. But short of that, there should be a distinction between the raisas and the rabbanans. There is a Shuvas HaRashba. Shuvas HaRashba Chelak Dalit Simin Reish Mem Hei. Shuvas HaRashba Chelak Dalit Simin Reish Mem Hei. But the Rashba sounds like he allows for even violating a Malacha Daraisa for Yisuvei Daita. He's talking about a kind of a kamiya. So writing an amulet on behalf of a Cholish Yishba Sakana on Shabbos. He writes, he quotes one opinion, that kosvin kol kemiya afilu b'shabes l'chol ha'sheish b'sakana o li'yoledes heicha de'inu tavi li'suvi da'tayu. So if a yoledes or even a regular run-of-the-mill chol ha'sheish b'sakana asks you to write a kemiya for him on Shabbos, you're allowed to do so. Afapi she'ein anu yodim im hu mumcha im lav. Even if we don't know whether this is a tested kemiya, whether this is a refu beduka, whether there's any track record that this kemiya is going to have any effect. Avalim einam tovim ela she'amar chacham echad yesh li kemiya echa shemo lo safoli esha she'ein kosu no sabi shabbos mitzafek elim ken yodeya the amfi kemiya amfi gavar sheresa lichtav as a kemiya. So if the chol is not requesting it, just someone comes out of the blue and says, I have this trusty kamiya formula that works wonders, let's write it for the Chol HaSheish B'Sakana Shabbos, so maybe that you shouldn't do, unless it has a proven track record. But if the Chol HaSheish B'Sakana is requesting that you write a kamiya, then that's mutter. It sounds like that's a kind of yisuvei daita that the Rashba allows, even though we're talking about a clear malacha d'oraisa.
Incidentally,
if I said
that
you probably mean more kishuv than nichush. So that's another shir which we don't really have time to address now. But if it's something where there may be a track record, or maybe a refua beduk on some level that minimizes the concern of kishuv, but that's not really our topic. So the Rashba does seem to allow, unless you distinguish it. I think I saw somewhere that maybe writing a kamiya, even if it's not a tested kamiya, is still different than anything more trivial that a chol would ask for lisuvei daitim. But at face value, it sounds like the Rashba is allowing malacha deraisa for lisuvei daitim for a chol hashesh v'sakanu. This Rashba is not reflected lalacha in Shulchan Aruch, and as we noted, pasuk shav there's a machlokes achronim whether you are allowed to violate Malachas Daraisa for a Chol HaSheish V'Sakana outside of Yoledes, and it sounds like under normal circumstances we're machmir not to. Shmir Shabbos quotes a comment from Shlomo Zalman, it's a half exclamation, half question, that is a little bit difficult to draw the line what would be considered Yisuvei Daita, even for Malachas Darabanan. So he asks almost rhetorically, would you say that if a Chol HaSheish V'Sakana asks you to bring him a newspaper on Shabbos in order to calm his nerves, that you're allowed to carry a newspaper outside without an Erev? He's talking about, where it's not a Rosh Hashanah D'Oraisa, even for the Rabbanan, to bring a newspaper to the Chol HaSheish V'Sakana. Is that the kind of Yisuvei Daita? Is that included in the Yisuvei Daita that is mutter even for the Rabbanan? So the way Shmir Shabbos presents it, it sounds like a rhetorical question. Obviously, that far you wouldn't go, but then where do you draw the line? What is a Yisuvei Daita which is permissible, and what is a Yisuvei Daita which is problematic? Sitz Eliezer and Rav Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo discuss variations on the following shaila. Sitz Eliezer, Chelaches, Simen Tes Vav, Perek Yud Aleph, Oz Zayin. Try that again. Chelaches, Simen Tes Vav, Perek Yud Aleph, Oz Zayin, discusses the following scenario. There's a cholish yesh basakana who needs you to light a lamp for him. So in his house, there is a large lamp that has much more oil than necessary for the needs of the cholish yesh basakana. And the next door neighbor has a much smaller lamp that would more than suffice for the needs of the cholish yesh basakana. So if you light a larger lamp, that is... that is potentially a greater malacha than if you're lighting a smaller lamp. Or in the more extreme, or the perhaps easier to explain more extreme scenario, there's no lamp in your house that's lit. You have to light a lamp, and the next door neighbor has a lamp that's already lit. So, is the next door neighbor mechuyev to give you their already lit lamp to prevent you from lighting a new lamp on behalf of the cholish yesh basakana? Or let's say in the extreme, if the neighbor is going to do that, then the neighbor is going to sit in the dark. So does the neighbor, in order to prevent you from violating a malacha on behalf of the cholish yesh basakana, does that neighbor have to compromise their own comfort and provide their lamp? So Tzitz Eliezer quotes a psak of Bishula Kutner in the Sefer Zayis Ra'anan, who discussed the following similar situation. Welcome back from Ghana.
Oh, thank you.
Or what country was it?
Yeah,
well, it was Ghana? I got it right?
Yeah.
I thought you were a Ghana in Ghana. So Bishula Kutner has the following question. There was a poor chola whose only hope of survival was a certain treatment available with a certain doctor in a certain faraway town. And in order to reach this doctor in the faraway town with enough time for the treatment to be successful, he had to violate Shabbos by traveling straight for 7 days. So he comes Erev Shabbos, he stops in a Jewish town, a town with a Jewish population, and I'm embellishing a little bit in the account, but he explains to the people in town what he's doing, that he's traveling to this other city where there's a famous doctor who could cure him, and he has to travel on Shabbos in order to reach that town in time. Now, in the town where he stops in Erev Shabbos, they have a helicopter. Or they have a faster vehicle than whatever this guy was traveling on. So they have a super fast wagon, and he only has a moderate speed wagon. What exactly? Right, he has a Gamlu Parcha. They have a Gamlu Parcha. What the exact mitzvah is, I'm not sure, but that's not germane to the question. So the Shaila is, so he's passing through this town, and the people of the town do not offer to provide their higher, faster mode of transportation to this ani, which would enable him to spend Shabbos in their town and not have to travel over Shabbos. So they don't provide anything. So he continues traveling on Shabbos in order to get to this doctor. But had they provided their helicopter, then he would have been able to get there without Chil Shabbos. So are the residents of this town culpable, liable? Did they do wrong by not providing their car service to minimize the Chil Shabbos, or to prevent this ani from having to be Mechal Shabbos? So Shula Kutner writes, as the Tzitz Eliezer quotes, that in this situation, in fact, there is no achrayus, there's no responsibility, Ikar Adin, for the residents of this town to come to the aid of the Chola. The Chola has every heter in the world to travel for his Sakanas Nefasho's needs. And if there's going to be an expense that would be incurred, as would have been the case in the town providing their taxi service to the schola, they're not obligated to, at their own expense, prevent the chola from being Mechal Shabbos, where he is fully in his right and licensed to be Mechal Shabbos for his choli. Nevertheless, he says that there may be an element of Gemilas Chesed, an element of Kiddush Hashem. It might have been the appropriate thing to do with Nimishuras Adin, but it wasn't absolutely required. So along these lines, Reb Shlomo Zalman Paskin's Shmir Shabbos Perek Lamed Beis Seif Samechei, Perek Lamed Beis Seif Samechei, as follows. Mutter lahadlik ha-se'or b'shvil ha-cholash b'sakana. Afim eitzel shcheino yeshna minari deluka. Even if the next door neighbor has a lamp that's already lit. Ela shahamadasa l'shus ha-chola tigrom l'shachein sar v'sevel gadol. But if the neighbor is going to give up their lamp, then they're going to sit in the dark. Kigon shishcheino yashen v'yesh tzarech la'irasa. Or the neighbor is sleeping, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, so do you have to wake up the neighbor to provide their lamp? The Shon Zalman Paskins, quoted in Shmir Shabbos, that in a situation in which you're providing a resource to a Cholesh Yesh Sakana would come at your expense, even if it's going to prevent the other Cholah's entourage from being Mechal Shabbos, there's no need to do so. The same thing he writes in Sif Ayin Dalet, you're allowed to cook on behalf of a Cholesh Yesh Sakana who needs hot food, even if your next door neighbor has the same food prepared, where your next door neighbor is not going to have anything to eat if you take their food.
That's not really, as long as that people usually have more food, I mean.
Yeah, so that's not the most practical scenario, but the theory is.
So if you would have abundance of food.
If you had an abundance of food, then it would be appropriate to do so. Are you absolutely mechuyev? That's.
Well, Pete did it. It has to do with supplying. There's no fear to lose mom to help a person not to.
Right, but it sounds like it's definitely the appropriate thing to do if it's not going to come at a significant loss. And then, so Shlomo Zalman writes, discusses this in Chelek Aleph Mincha Shlomo Simen Zayin. Chelek Aleph Mincha Shlomo Simen Zayin. And he writes that after the first volume of Shmir Shabbos was published with this psak, he was attacked by Reb Pinchas Epstein, who is the, I don't remember if it was the Ravad or the Gavad of the Eda in Yerushalayim, in comments printed in Siddur Minchas Yerushalayim, where he argued. He said no, that even if the neighbor is going to be adversely affected, it's his chiyuv to be osik in hatzalas nefashos for someone else. That the chiyuv of hatzalas nefashos for the Cholesh Yesh B'Sakana is not limited to the Cholesh Yesh B'Sakana himself or his entourage. It applies to every Jew. So every Jew is mechuyuv to be osik in hatzalas nefashos, even if it's going to come to his detriment. And he argues with another psak of Shlomo Zalman that what happens if there's an electrical wire that falls down on Shabbos, a live wire, and there's a concern someone might touch it. So Shlomo Zalman says, you're allowed to call the electric company, even though that's going to result in some chil Shabbos, to cut off the electricity. And you're not mechuyev mikra din to stand there all Shabbos to warn people not to touch it. I mean, if you stand there all Shabbos and warn anyone passing by that there's a danger here, there won't be a danger. But you're not mechuyev to be mevatel your own Shabbos to stand all Shabbos in front of this live wire just to prevent yourself from calling the power company. And Pinchas Epstein argues on this too. I know, you can put, someone can stand there.
Wow. Instead of being masalik, the life-threatening danger in its entirety, it's better that a person who may not be able to do the job 100% because they'll get tired or they have to go to the washroom.
No, they're talking about where,
I mean, or
you have enough income. And you have the Nachri come and write a sign that says, danger, don't touch.
Which is still not foolproof when coming to a life-threatening
right.
situation.
So it doesn't sound like that part of the equation. I mean, it sounds like the assumption of statement from Pilchus Epstein is that there's no concern that someone may be injured because it's not fixed. Meaning, the assumption of the way the question is framed is that that's not the issue. The issue is, do you have to put your comfort on the line in order to save others? So Rishon LeZalman has a rebuttal of Rav Pinchas Epstein's argument in Mincha Shlomo Chelek Aleph Siman Zayin, a very lengthy tshuva, and Anaf Aleph, which has many subsections, is dedicated to this topic. So I'll just read you some highlights. This is Anaf Aleph Osvav. So, and this takes us back to our question of Hutru Duchuyu, which is probably on all of your minds when we pose this question. So he says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that even if we hold Duchuya, bottom line is that the imperative to be B'chal Shabbos for Chol Sheish V'Sakan is based on B'chai Behem. So even if you hold Duchuya, it's still considered to be Heter Gamor. So just like during the week, there's no chiyuv to be mafsin mamon or to overexert yourself to provide your own food for a chol sheish v'sakana, as opposed to cooking the chol's own food, so to on Shabbos, you don't have to overextend yourself if it's going to be a major inconvenience. He says, if that's not the case, then every pregnant woman in the ninth month of pregnancy would have to rent a room near the hospital to spend all Shabbos there to avoid any potential situation of Chil Shabbos, even at a financial expense. When we talk about Yolandis, we'll talk about this, because Rav Schechter holds that that's taka true, at least within reason. And he says, no one ever suggested that a person who has to eat on Yom Kippur would have to pay for an IV line to provide nourishment intravenously on behalf of a chola. Meaning the chola himself, presumably would be mechuyav to be motzi mamon in order to minimize the chil Shabbos necessary, but that's not an obligation to comment on anyone else.
The chol himself should seek out the chol himself to get out of the eating on Yom Kippur.
So that
he is that what he's suggesting?
He say maybe you could entertain that, but definitely, if you could talk about that for the chola, whether a chola perhaps would have to pay money for his own care, and whether Yoledis perhaps would have to pay money to rent a room near the hospital, but it's pashut that it's not an obligation upon anyone else. If the woman can't afford to rent a room near the hospital, the chola can't afford the IV line, then it's pashut that no one else is mechuyav to pay for it for him. So no one else is obligated to lose money in order to provide something for chol sheish v'sakana, the chol sheish v'sakana has on his own. The bottom line is, l'chenir de'efsher shem ikra din ein adam chayav liten es tafshila os nero l'hashi b'choshech ki em yishum midas chasidus. And maybe there's a midas chasidus, but it's definitely not required mikra din. K'mochein ein l'hayir acher mishin asim, you shouldn't wake up the neighbor. L'vakish mehem nero tafshil v'ligram lehem sevel acher. D'kevin she'enam yodim lo ram ya'alai yishum chiyav. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, the way he presents it, independent of Hutru Duchuya, even if you hold Duchuya, that still doesn't require any extra effort to the inconvenience of a third party on behalf of the Chola. So that's his bottom line sock, that within reason, there's no need for a third party, for the neighbor, to inconvenience himself to avoid the need to be Mechal Shabbos on behalf of a chol sheyesh bo sakan. Okay, let's move on to the topic of hatzalas nachrim. Take a look in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shin Lamed, Seif Beis. Simon Shin Lamed, Seif Beis. Kusis Ein Meyaldin Asab B'Shabbos. This is based on Avodah Zarah Daf Kaf Zayin. You don't assist in helping a non-Jewish woman who's in labor on Shabbos. In the old printings of Shulchan Aruch, it says, "Afilu b'davar she'ein bo chilul Shabbos." Even with something that doesn't involve chilul Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berura, Sif Katan Ches, Kusas Ein Meyaldin, Afilu b'schar. Even if you get paid, you can't serve as a midwife for a non-Jewish woman laboring on Shabbos. D'bechol Meyaldin Mishum Eva. During the week, you're allowed to assist in a birthing non-Jewish woman because of Eva. K'muvur b'yardeya kuf nedalit. Hacha aser mishum d'yichol l'shtame v'lomar. But here there's no Eva, because every non-Jew will understand that if you say, no, we're only Mechal Shabbos for people that keep Shabbos, then they'll say, oh, I understand, and they won't bother you anymore, so there won't be any Eva. So that's why there's no concern of Eva on Shabbos. The custom of Avram, Ubamakom de'ik ala mechash le'eva, gam b'chi agav neshari yimei b'chilo. Says the Magen Avraham, if there's a concern of Eva, meaning you live in a society where that's not going to fly, and you say, oh, I can't help you because you don't keep Shabbos, then there's still going to be Eva. The Magen Avraham says, you're allowed to call Shabbos, but only with the Rabbanans. Only im Eimba Chilo. Right, that sounds like with the Rabbanans. So we'll come back to the rest of the Mishnah Berurah here in a few moments. Divrei Chaim, Sanz Rav, Orach Chaim, Chelik Bei Simen Kafei. Divrei Chaim, Orach Chaim, Chelik Bei Simen Kafei. Writes as follows. That when it comes to Daraisas, the only hazard that you have to violate a Daraisa for Pikuach Nefesh is for Yisrael. But if it's a Nachri B'Makom Eva, you're not allowed to perform Malachos D'Araisa. So even B'Makom Eva, you can only violate the Rabbanans, not the D'Araisas. So he concludes, V'lachein, V'vade Yesh L'Hachmir. So one should be Machmir not to violate the D'Araisas L'Atzalas Nachri on Shabbos. Achamina G'Rofim Shemakilin. The minhag among doctors and sons was to be meko. V'shamati shehu mitakanos haratzos lahatir lahem. And I heard that this was from the takanos haratzos, I guess from the takanos vada ratzos. Aval lo risis ever sefer, but I never found any actual documentary evidence that there was such a takana to allow chil Shabbos on the ratzos b'makom eva. So the Rechai writes that in principle, one can only violate the Rabbans in Makom Eva. In common practice, he knows what's to be Meko, and he's not sure what the justification is. However, okay, so let's go back to the Mishnah Berurah now. The Mishnah Berurah is even more forceful than the Divrei Chaim. Mishnah Berurah continues there in Shin Lamed, Sefkat and Ches. The da rofim bismanenu afilu hayoser kisherim, those are the ones that go to Gehenna, einam nisharim bezaklal de maisim b'chol Shabbos shenosim kama parsos lirafos of the kachavim. So the doctors in our time even the best of the doctors aren't careful about this, and they travel on Shabbos to cure Nachrim, the Kosvin, the Shokin Samamonim, the Asman, and they violate their Raisos, the Eilahem Amashi Yismochu. They have nothing to rely on. So Mishnah Berurah doesn't mince any words that he doesn't think there's any justification for doctors violating Malachas Daraisa, Latzalas Nachrim, even B'makam Pikoach Nefesh, even B'makam Eva. Mishnah Berurah is quite unequivocal. He doesn't see any heter. So the heterim begin with the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer Yoredeya Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph writes as follows: V'im Yesh BeEva Zu Chashash Sakanas Nefasha. So there are different kinds of Eva. There's Eva that's going to lead to some kind of bad feelings or sour relationships among neighbors. And there's Eva that could lead to a pogrom. So if there's Eva that could lead to a chashat sakanas nefashos, yesh lahatir afilu melacha d'araisa. And he expands on this, chosha mishpat simen kup tzadi dalet. So our whole discussion where you have to be machmir, where you can't violate malachos for salas nachrim, that's if there's going to be run-of-the-mill generic low-grade eva. The yachal is not so below mar canal, then you can say, sorry, I can't help. Now we live amongst the Nachrim, the Yosifu Sidibatakris, and they're going to add to their hatred and animosity. The Yomru Kidamo Shal Akum Kal Beinenu, and they'll say that non-Jewish blood is cheap in our eyes. The Lo Yikablu Teiros Deminso Shabbos, and they're not going to buy that argument that we only help people that keep Shabbos. The Od Berov Hamikomos Harofim Hem Goyim. Most places, most of the doctors are not Jewish. The Yivaser Beineyam Damin Shal Yisrael. And if we're not going to treat their cholim unambiguously, then they're going to stop treating ours. V'ulai b'shas nami lo amr el b'imeyam shelo hayashtichi taro v'sisrael. V'goyim. And maybe even Dina de Gemara that doesn't allow to be miyaled an Akav and Shabbos that doesn't allow Hatzalas Nefashos and Nachrim and Shabbos, that was in a society where the Jews and the Nachrim didn't live side by side. Of course, the Tosfos in a different context like that, a rush, that things changed. Just like there are Teirim and Rishonim, quote in Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to a Deleika in Shin Lamed Aleph, the Ramah, that nowadays you're allowed, we're more liberal about extinguishing fires on Shabbos, where there's a potential that it could come to destroy non-Jewish houses. See here too. So where there's a concern that by not treating Nachrim, that's going to lead to super Eva, it's going to lead to pogrom, it's going to lead to them not treating our cholim, then there's an allowance, as a chazan sofer, even to violate the araisas. Amnam akol lefi rosh einayim lezman, lefi, that everything is society dependent. Now he says that in the context of the Deleika, but that's relevant here as well. That's, if you want to take a look, the Ramah in Shin Lamed Aleph.
Ra'os Hazman?
Is that the Russian? The Ra'os Einayim Hazman. Right, the Ramah writes in the end of Shin Lamed Aled, Kol Adina Man Nizkar Medina Yilei Kahani Mili Bimeim. Aval Bizman Azeh, Sha'anu Shruim Veinan Nochrim, Kasru Yishon, Vachrodim Zal Shemutu Lechabas Teleka B'Shabes, Nishim De Yesh Bas Sakanas Tefashos, Vazariz Reza Meshubach. Kamaka Bakol Lefiya Inyen, Dima Yibetuch Vadish, Ein Shem Sakan V'Dabar, Asa Lechabas, Aval B'Chashash Sakanas Safek, Mutu Lechabas Afil Teleka B'Vesa Shal Akum, Bechain Nogin.
Is that Rak Machshin Sukh the Gufa? Of the Leika?
That's even. Right, so that's some of. So that's what the Ramah goes on to say. Vidafka Lechabas the Leika, Dabi Machshin Sukh the Gufa, Vyesakanum Leich Babal Asal Chal Shabbos Kedil Hatzil Mamon. Correct. So that is. Because of the nature of kibbutz, that's more kal than your standard run-of-the-mill malacha. So that's what the Chasam Sofer says, that this is a model, that just as we see in Rishonim, a precedent for being mekel on deleika, where there's a concern that not extinguishing the fire is going to lead to super eva on the part of the nachrim, then that could be relevant here as well. So that line of Lufi Ros Einayim Azman was from the Trumas Hadeshed, which the Ramah quotes in Shin Lamed Aled, or which is one of the sources for that Ramah. Trumas Hadeshed is Imsakim Simen Kuf Nun Vav. Because the way the Trumas Hadeshed writes it, nowadays you're not going to, if you don't extinguish the fire, then there'll be a pogrom. Then the Nachman are going to come and kill the Jews. So that's a real Sakan Safashos, and that's what the Chazon Sofer says could be relevant to treating Nachum and Shabbos Bizman as well. And Ramosha expands upon this. Igros Moshe Chelek Dalet Simen Ayintes. Chelek Dalet Simen Ayintes, or Chayim. Ramosha writes, obviously better, as we discussed earlier, to not be on call on Shabbos. But if you have to be in the hospital on Shabbos, or there's a situation in which people know you're a doctor, so someone comes knocking on your door on Shabbos, they need to be treated, you can't turn them away. So then, you have to help, even an Ochri, even an Issa Deraisa. The Kol Shekein, if there's an event near your house that requires medical attention, and they say, is there a doctor here? You can't ignore it. Even if there's no personal sakana, it's not like the doctor's life is going to be in danger, but you have to be concerned for a societal eva, for a broad eva. Mitzad the population, and mitzad the government. And Moshe writes, Pela al-god al-chavetz chayim, who writes what we just quoted him as saying, he doesn't understand how the chavetz chayim could take such an extreme position. Same with the Divrei Chayim. He says, Sarach Lomar, then what do they mean? Shekavanoso, she'af she'sover ba'atzmo, de'locho she'sakana b'shvaleva, nikamakam lo amr libchaz barofim, she'makilim, tuhumi shimdolo barolo she'lakach ha'shasagan. So the Divrei Chayim, who said that he doesn't see any heter, but he says the doctors are makel, it must be, he's assuming that the doctors are following a different opinion that has some legitimacy. Now there was concern for broader Eva that could lead to Sakanos Nefashos. The Moshe's conclusion is that nowadays, anywhere you are, you have to be concerned for this Sakana. Gam Yitzad Pirsum Hayidius Ayide Hayitonim. Especially if you live in a society that's dominated by the media, with an agenda. Tekef masha nasa b'chol olam, that with the papers they report immediately whatever happens anywhere in the world, this is before the internet. Ika michsho l'meilaf b'mak l'makam. So even if there's not going to be an eva sakana here, but there could be sakana to Jews somewhere else in the world. Vagam hasata lahagdil asina, agar tzicha gadol, could lead to pogroms again. L'chein pasuk shebizmanenu yesh ladin zeh kisakana mamish v'yesh lahatir kishenizam in zeh. Sir Moshe unequivocally, unambiguously says that nowadays, yeah, better to avoid the situation if possible. Don't be up on Shabbos if there are nachrim are going to be treated. But if you're in a situation where it's unavoidable, you're on call, you're in the hospital, someone knocks on your door, so then you have to treat nachrim even lachas deraisa. Obviously, whatever you minimize without compromising the care. And if you have nachri assistance, so you have the nachri assistant do what you can. But the principle is that nowadays in the society, the world that we live, you can't just say, sorry, we only treat Shomer Shabbos, and think that that's not going to lead to Eva. So writes Shmir Shabbos as well, Parak Mem Se'if Mem Beis.
So Reb Moshe is mattering Mishum Eva, whereas...
Mishum Chasson Sofer is Eva. Well, no, it's really the same argument as Chasson Sofer. Chasson Sofer says there's Eva and there's Eva.
Right, I understand, but the Eva that today is a little bit different than the Eva of the Chasson Sofer.
Reb Moshe treats it the same way. Reb Moshe says that it could even lead to Ritzikla Gadol. It could lead to... There are different ways that could happen, but it could lead to violence against Jews.
Okay,
one way or another.
We see this one as then, you know, like people in... I mean, not regarding doctors, but
right.
People in the media, Weinstein and Trump's lawyer, Cohen, I mean, they're like, it's all over the place, but I didn't see any Ava increase in against Yidden.
That's a little bit different. That if everyone knows that Jewish doctors won't treat Nachum on Shabbos, that creates a different level of Eva. There was a celebrated incident in Eretz Yisrael in the 1960s where there was an account that was publicized in Haaretz by a certain professor by the name of Shachak that he was witness to a Maisa where there was a frum Jew who didn't let someone used his telephone to call an ambulance to come to a Nachri on Shabbos because it was Shabbos. So that led to a whole media firestorm and many articles written in both directions. And ultimately, it was proven that this incident never happened. It was totally fabricated. There was an article written by... But part of the response was that halacha does in fact allow, as we just saw, for treating nachrim on Shabbos, but ultimately it was proven that this account never happened and it was totally fabricated. Rav Avadya writes in the Eretz Yisrael context, Chela Gimel Simen Shin Yud Zayin, Chela Gimel Chazon Avadya Simen Shin Yud Zayin, that he thinks in Eretz Yisrael it's better that all the hospitals have, to the extent that they can, Nachri doctors on call on Shabbos. He says that's what they do in Shaarei Tzedek. And you should be memaik to the extent possible in the malacha when you're treating nachrim. So if you do something aydei shnayim shasu, better to do it aydei shnayim shasu, says Rav Avadya. Okay. What about, to the extent that there is a, let's say on the Ikar Adid level, that you don't treat a nachri on Shabbos, leaving aside considerations of Eva, but in the pristine halacha where that's relevant, does that apply to a Mechal Shabbos? Does it apply to a Mummer Lechal Shabbos? So the Prima Gadim writes, here in Simon Shin Kav Ches Mishpas Azav Sivkat and Vav, Shin Kav Ches Mishpas Azav Sivkat and Vav, that as far as these halachas are concerned, a Mummer Lechal Shabbos or a Mummer Lehachis Dino Ka'akum. So to the extent that you can treat a Nachri on Shabbos, you can't treat a Mummer L'chal Shabbos. Take a look at the Mishnah Brura, Simen Shin Kav Tes, Sif Katan Tes. Shin Kav Tes, Sif Katan Tes. They write towards the end of that, Sif Katan, Yisrael Balaveros Lite Avon, Kozman She'en Kofer B'Torah, near the mechavim of Shabbos kedei latzila. So if he's just a merely teyavon, but he's not ideologically an apikores, so then you're mechal Shabbos for him. Aval imu lahachis asil latzila af b'chol. So varidin v'lamalin. If he's a merely lahachis, he can't even save him during the week. Because you get to ask mechal on Shabbos b'pikuach agal. O bishar refua, who adin l'chol hani the east of Yerdeya kufnur ches. Right, so you know, it could be even when it comes, even if we're mekel by nachrim, it could be there's less reason to be mekel according to the machmirim by a mummer because you might not have the same level or same eva consideration, unless those mummers also write in the papers. But Rav Avadia writes. Yabia Omer Chelek Yud Arachayim Simin Nundalid Osta Zayin. Yabia Omer Chelek Yud Arachayim Simin Nundalid Osta Zayin. That Simin, there are a series of asagos on the Sefer Mayim Rabim of Rav Yosef Misas, who was the Svardi Rav Roshiv Yerushalayim, I think, from Morocco originally. So he quotes many poskim are of the opinion that we are mechal Shabbos for a we are mechal Shabbos for a mechal Shabbos. He quotes from Rav Yashiv that nowadays stam mechal Shabbos is ketinuk shenishpa, and then he writes that he thinks the consideration of Eva that applies to Nachum, applies to Mechal Shabbos as well. That even if in principle you want it to be Machmir, that a Mechal Shabbos is Dinar Ka'akum, but if you're not going to treat Mechal Shabbos, then the Mechal Shabbos are going to stop treating us. And that could lead to Sakan Sefashos. So that's why he writes, Pashat HaMinag, by Jewish doctors, even by the Yirei Shemayim, to treat any Cholam Mesukkah on Shabbos, both Nachrim and Mechal Shabbos. Magen Avraham, Simen Shin Lamed Sifkat and Dalid discusses Karayim. Shin Lamed Sifkat and Dalid. So Magen Avraham thinks that by Karayim you're allowed to Mechal Shabbos because the Karayim in principle accept Shabbos. They have a different interpretation of the details. But in principle they're Shomer Shabbos according to their understanding. So a Karayim is better than a Mumr Mechal Shabbos. And you can be Mechal Shabbos on behalf of a Karai. Rav Shechter quotes a story. There are a few famous stories of Rav Chaim and the Briskarov, situations where they were Mechal Shabbos actively on behalf of Pidyon Shvuyim or saving people from a death sentence. So Rav Shechter told me he heard from Simcha Sheps that one of the stories with the Briskarov was Mechal Yontiv on behalf of someone who was on death row. Was for a university student, and university students in Brisk were not from the Shomer Shabbos. So he said, "You see that the Briskarov is assuming that we are Mechal Shabbos for Mechal Shabbos as well."
Mechal Shabbos, or it's Balaveros.
Mechal Shabbos is the most extreme of a Balavera. It means even a Yestam a Mechal Shabbos is Dino Gakum. Right, you don't find that by stam an over avera. So that's what the discussion is. Machlokas achronim is mechal Shabbos leinyan zeh. Do we distinguish between a mumr l'teyav and a mumr l'hachis? But bottom line, even in principle, if you were to be machmir, in theory, that a mechal Shabbos is dino ka'aka, but in practice, the same kulas that apply for kulas, the same dispensation, the same allowance, same recommendation to be metapel with a chol and achri applies to a Chol Mechal Shabbos as well. Okay, next time, we'll just talk a few minutes about Schar Shabbos, and then we're going to tackle the sugya of returning from a Pikuach Nefesh situation on Shabbos. I'll send out Mar Mekomos for that shortly. Okay, so Wednesday at 3, Emirat Hashem. Just to point out that we're not going to be covering all the details. We're focusing more on klalim than on details of what constitutes a chol sheish basakana, what constitutes a chol sheim basakana. When it comes to chol sheim basakana, we'll talk a little bit about the principles, but I would expect you to minimally see over the next few weeks. Mechaber Umam Mishnah Brua Simanim Shin Kaf Ches to Shin Lamed. Shin Kaf Ches, we're not going to get to all the details of everything quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but I want you to at least see it with the Mishnah Brua. Okay?
So the crying was always going to be crossing technically, right? I mean, it's a bit quite
right.
It's not like something like a corpse. It's not where they are.